Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
Recent injuries tend to recover faster, right? If you've been dealing with something for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, it's going to take some time to undo what you've been doing for all that time. Mm-hmm. And that's part of setting the expectations as well, because sometimes people think, oh, I went and tried this once and I'm not better. Well, you walked in with 20 years of crap.
Yes.
It's not going to get resolved in one session.
Right.
So especially if the body's really twisted and, you know, has been compensating for a long time, it's working on the body to change the environment to allow it to heal. Because areas that have been tight and locked down, they're weak. They're not functioning properly, you know. So you got to open up the environment for it to heal before it actually gets strong enough to hold its purpose.
Hey, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Thank you so much for hitting play and checking out the show today. The voice you just heard is Ruth Backlund, and she is with Energy Works Myofascial Release. What is myofascial release, and what is this stuff called fascia anyway? Well, that is what we're going to talk about, or part of what we're going to talk about. The opening you heard, of course, gives the incentive as to why to get things taken care of sooner than later. And Ruth goes a little more into that and how our body is organized and why it can be really beneficial to us to nip some of these little things in the bud. And, you know, it kind of seems obvious, but I think as we are all living in our busy lives and our crazy days and we have all too much to do, it's one of those things that can get away with us. And years go by before we address something that's kind of bugging us. So just something to think about in general. Ruth might be one of those resources to help you out. One of the things I loved learning about during our conversation was the work that Ruth does with women and women's health. And we talk about the pelvic floor work that she does both internally and externally, and breast work and all the training that she has had with that. So if you are a regular listener to the podcast, this might sound familiar to you. We had a practitioner closer to the Twin Cities, so it was fun for me to know that we have somebody up here in Duluth doing similar work. So it's a great opportunity to hear how Ruth talks about it and how she works with it and some of the details that she goes into. One thing that I just feel really called to mention, and something that Ruth touches on, is, you know, if you or somebody that you know is thinking about having like a back surgery, a knee surgery, or, you know, maybe even wrist, shoulder, various other surgeries on our bodies, if you have an opportunity to, and I would say to take the opportunity to connect with some of these people that I have had on my podcast, be it Ruth or any of the other folks, to give them a shot and see what they can do for you, or at least talk to them. You know, as Ruth is going to talk about futuristically that you're going to hear, it doesn't always mean that you shouldn't have the surgery or that the surgery isn't needed. But there are benefits to being able to have some work done before you go have the surgery. And I think that's so important. I've known people who have surgeries that I really think would have gone so much better, or maybe didn't need to happen at all, if they would have actually had a chance to connect with some people who do body work. You know, there were many surgeries that I was supposed to have that doctors said that I absolutely needed that I never had. And I am so grateful to the body workers and sometimes the other doctors that intervened as well. But I had a surgery that was supposed to happen on my feet because I don't really have good arches, and they wanted to go into my leg and take out part of the muscle and put it into my foot. And they told me I would have to learn to walk again. And they were like, well, this is what you got to do. I am so glad I didn't do that. I am so glad I didn't do that. So I just want to toss that out there in case somebody is listening and you're about to have a surgery. Maybe it is the thing that you need, but man, maybe with some work you can buy yourself some time. And Ruth and I didn't go into our conversation. So Ruth, if you're listening to this, you can certainly add some detail in the notes about what things you might have experienced. But I think of organs and various other things in the body that I've had helped with body work that, again, I could have easily had a gallbladder surgery years ago that had they taken it out, it wouldn't have actually solved the twisted ducts that were leading up to that. And I could have had the surgery and then been in still in the same amount of pain. So anyway, I don't know why, but I just feel really called to mention that. So I'm going with the flow. I'm not a fan of the surgery. So anytime I can do something else that works better, especially, I'm so game. Before we dive into our conversation with Ruth, I want to just, of course, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Please check out the other episodes and topics at wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can, of course, get the podcast on iTunes and anywhere else you're listening to podcasts. But if you're on the website, please consider joining the mailing list. Please also consider becoming part of our Patreon community and supporting the podcast that way. As little as a buck a month gets you some extra goodies and eternal gratitude from your local podcast host. In all truth and seriousness, it really does mean a lot to me. Every Patreon member does. I am so grateful for those of you who vote with your dollar to keep me going and to keep this growing. So thank you so much. All right, without further ado, let's get down to the reason you are here. Let's head into our conversation with Ruth.
So I'm Ruth Backlund. I'm the owner and founder of Energy Works Myofascia Release here. And I've been doing myofascia release for about 10 years. I'm an RN, which makes me a little different for a lot of the therapists in town. A lot of our massage therapists are PT or, you know, they have some other credential, but I'm an RN. So myofascia release is, I would say it's gentle myofascial stretching to decrease pain and increase range of motion. So that's a very general way to describe it, okay? Mm-hmm. It can get really complicated in a hurry, and I don't like the complication, so I like to keep it simple. So basically, I stretch people.
Okay.
Okay? So I help active men and women increase mobility, decrease pain, get back to whatever they want to get back to, with avoiding pain injections and surgery, okay? So I do that with the myofascial stretching,
okay?
So generally what I do when people come in, I mean, they come in for all kinds of reasons. I'll do an evaluation with them. First, I want to take an intake, obviously, talking to them over the phone, what's going on, how long they've had issues, things like that. And oftentimes they've tried a lot of different modalities. They've been to the doctor. They've tried pain medications. They've tried, you know, all the over-the-counter stuff. They tried other modalities, and some of them get them some relief for a period of time. Some don't get them relief at all. And it just depends on what they're walking in with. You know, not every modality is the right thing for everybody.
Right.
And some, they need a combination of things to really make everything work better. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's great to have a network of healthcare providers that you can turn to that might be, you know, a strength in one area or another. So, but what I do is a lot of times I'll see people come in and they've had an issue, let's just say with their neck or something like that. And they're always getting treated at their neck, always getting treated at the shoulder. And that's where all their focus has been, whether it be their chiropractor or whatever modality. The focus seems to always be where they're having pain. With myofascial release, the pain is oftentimes not where the problem is. Mm-hmm. That's usually just the symptom of something that's going on. Okay, so I do a standing evaluation on everybody every time they come in. I look to see when they're standing, you know, in front of me, where's their body crooked? Where are they twisted? Where are they pulled off their center that might be contributing to some of the symptoms that are going on? Mm-hmm. So I have them, you know, standing face forward, I have them turn to the side, and I have them turn to the back, because all that gives me a very visual picture of what's going on even before I put my hands on them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it gives me some clues of where I really need to start. Because you'd be surprised how many people come in and look like they're doing that really steep slope downhill ski thing, and they're standing like this and they don't even know
it.
So they're standing at that 10, 20, 30 degree angle, and their back hurts or their neck hurts. Right. Well, yeah, your body's fighting to stay upright because you're all crooked.
Right. Well, right. And I think of, you know, sitting in a computer, you're, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times forced forward. And I know walking down the street, I notice myself, especially in winter with ice mm-hmm. and just the amount of hills sometimes, mm-hmm. I notice that I'm on flat ground and I'm still leaning forward.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Well, and sitting, as you mentioned, that's really, that's a big problem for people, and they don't realize that that's contributing to a lot of their problems. Mm-hmm. There's a muscle in your muscle pair in your abdomen called your psoas, P-S-O-A-S, psoas. And it's a long muscle. It's meant to stabilize your body, but if we sit a lot, it tends to shorten. Mm-hmm. And then it causes some issues with our spine pulling forward and things getting twisted. And so it's a big contributor to a lot of problems that people have when they are sitting in front of their computer, or, you know, if they're sitting at home in a chair, you know, and they're on their iPhones all the time, or they're, you know, watching TV. It's like they're in this sedentary sit mode, and your body's meant to be moving, mm-hmm. and meant to be upright. And so it really causes some issues for us. That right. way.
That makes sense. We're doing a lot of very unnatural things.
We are.
To where that, you know, that we, the computer is not the caveman. We're not, what's not at the computer.
Right, right. Well, and what's the natural thing for people? If their body starts to hurt, they stop doing things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's counterproductive. It actually puts us in a tailspin in the opposite direction.
Right. So. Yeah. To stop your, that is one of the things that I am very pleased at myself for. When I was dealing with all of the pain when I was younger, I did kind of, you know, I certainly stopped moving to a point, but I kept pushing myself in particular ways. And I had a doctor once was like, if I could just write you a prescription to go to a dance club every weekend, because he's like, you love to do that. And when you're doing that, your brain is somewhere else and you're moving your body, mm-hmm. and you're focused on the music and how happy you are to be there. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that can be just as good for you as stretching to an extent, because mm-hmm. you're just keeping things moving. Stretching, yeah. Super important. So not trying to say that's not important,
right.
but it
right.
just, but he kept everything moving. And mm-hmm. so I thought that was a really great, you know, thing to point me to, mm-hmm. to the things that I was doing that I could keep doing on my own that were fun, mm-hmm. but that just keep your body moving.
Keep it moving.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what brought you here to doing this work?
Well, a lot of things. I think my personal health history brought me to needing a lot of therapy at different points in time. Okay. I went through a period of time where I was having a lot of trouble with my back, and I was in a sit-down job. I was sitting in front of a computer a lot. Mm-hmm. And I also have a lot of scar tissue in my abdomen. So, you know, put that combination of things together, you know, multiple surgeries and bad posture, repetitive injury kind of things, my body was hurting, okay? So I went through a period where I couldn't lay on my back for 9 months. I, you know, was seeing a chiropractor. I was seeing massage. I went to several rounds of PT, and I wasn't getting better with all of them. I had injections in my back, which didn't do anything for me either. So, you know, going through years of really suffering with my own health, I actually encountered a myofascial release therapist in town who's now retired. His name was Dennis Demagala. And I'm like, okay, I have been to everybody else in this town. I have had everything done that I know what to do. I've had every test. You know, I've gone to where I'm at, and I'm just getting worse. So I'm like, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to try this guy. And it took a few sessions, but by the third session, I could sleep on my back again. I mean, that was a huge shift for me to be able to do that.
That's really significant.
Yeah, really significant. So I knew there was something different about what he was doing. I mean, it was very different in the treatment room than, you know, with the massage. They're using oils and they're massaging all over your body, and it feels good, mm-hmm. unless you're in pain. It doesn't always feel good because I couldn't lay there very well. But, you know, I like a massage, but it felt good, but it wasn't getting me where I needed to be. I needed mm-hmm. something more corrective. So I continued with him for a period of time, and then I'm like, okay, I already have a license to touch. I have my RN degree. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, I might be able to take some classes. I mean, I really didn't intend to do this as a business. I didn't intend to shift my career mm-hmm. down this path. But because I was having so much success and getting my life back with the myofascial release, I went, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. And I went to some courses. Actually, my very first one, not everybody knows this. A lot of therapists know this, so it might make you a little uncomfortable to hear it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. my very first course, I actually went as a patient.
Oh,
Well, now, patients don't usually get to go to courses.
Okay, okay.
I went to a very specialized course called Women's Health, and that will dovetail into some of the specialized work that I do here, mm-hmm. where it's treating women's issues, treating the breast, treating issues within the pelvis, both external work, which we would do, you know, with most people for myofascial release, but also internal pelvic floor work.
Okay.
And so as a patient, that was a very scary thing for me.
Uh-huh.
My therapist was a man, uh-huh. and that was even more scary for me.
Mm.
So what they did in this conference is, you know, there's 80, 90 women there, and there were four men who brought their female patient that they needed to work on as part of this course. So I was a volunteer, basically, but I was in this little room behind, you know, black curtains to separate from all the other women.
Sure.
So they were not uncomfortable with the four male therapists that were back there. And so that was eye-opening for me. Very, very, took a lot of courage mm-hmm. to do that. But I needed that pelvic floor work with all the scar tissue I had from my C-section and other laps and appy, things like that, where there was just so much scar tissue in my body, I needed that. So that was like the turning point for me. I went home after that. I was fascinated by the conference because I got to listen into all the lectures and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I got a lot of treatment there. And I walked away with a bunch of books, talked to a lot of therapists. I went home. I ordered a massage table. I didn't know why I was ordering a massage table. I had no intentions of doing this. I just was compelled to get a massage table, get some bolsters, get sheets, signed up for more classes. I'm like, why am I doing this? I don't know why I'm doing this. I have a full-time job. Why am I doing this? But I was just pulled to do it. I don't know why. I can't even explain it.
Wow.
I thought, well, if anything else, I'm going to treat friends and family, which is what I did for about the first year.
Okay.
While I took classes.
Sure.
So I got my training going. I still didn't intend to do this as a business. So after about a year, took almost a year before I went, okay, this is stupid. I'm spending all this money because it's thousands of dollars to take these classes.
Sure.
And you have to travel to do it, which is not a bad thing, but it costs money to do it. You know, and I have this table, and I actually think by that time I had two because I found another one. I'm like, okay, now I have two tables and I have, you know, but I still wasn't doing it as a business. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to rent a space, and I worked evenings and weekends on top of my full-time job.
Okay, sure.
So I did that actually for about 6 years. So I came in as a patient first, have no idea what the universe had in store for me, but it drew me to go to a certain direction. And I just haven't looked back.
Wow.
So that's how I got here.
That's fantastic. Like you said, going as a patient, I would take on that opportunity any day of the week. I really would.
Yeah.
That's where people are in great spaces of learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and when you are somebody like me who feels like a little bit of an anomaly, I'm like, I've always thought, who could I donate myself to? Like, let's just figure this out together.
Yeah.
Whatever you could learn and pass on, woohoo, let's do it. But that's fantastic. Yeah. So what a great, great experience. And I think, and I hear this from people as they're looking for practitioners, you know, they want somebody who's had some experience
mm-hmm.
that they've kind of, they understand what they're going through.
Yep.
So I think there's a lot of value in that.
Yep.
So I want to get back to the work that you're doing with women's health and pelvic mm-hmm. floor work, because I think that is such a great and important a topic mm-hmm. and we don't talk a lot about it, but let's just talk briefly. If you have a good analogy of fascia, tell me if this is an accurate description of fascia. So fascia is all over our body, and it's kind of the thing, it's kind of like another layer of material. And one of my understandings is if it gets twisted, it's kind of like when we think of a bag of onions, and then they come in that little bag where there's, mm-hmm. you know,
The netting,
thank you. And if you twist that a little bit, every part of the bag goes wonky.
Yep. So fascia is a connective tissue, and it does cover you from head to toe. And it's not just one layer.
Okay.
It covers everything.
Okay.
So if we think of a muscle, think of the big muscle in your leg. Well, in there is a lot of layers of muscle. Okay. There's fibrils, microfibrils. And even down to the cellular level, everything is covered in fascia.
Wow.
Down to the cellular level. Okay. So people think it's just that big sheath. Like if you ever, you know, taken the skin off chicken, you see that filmy, milky stuff. Yep. That filmy, milky stuff is fascia. Okay. But that's a big sheath of it. That's just like one piece.
Okay.
You know, then you cut the meat and each cell in there is also covered in fascia.
Gosh.
So,
okay.
I mean, it really is everything. It's all connected. It's three-dimensional.
Okay.
So that's another way to look at it. Or to your onion bag analogy, think of like your sweater. You're wearing a sweater today. If you snagged your sweater, okay, so if you pulled on your sweater, it affects everything else.
Right.
So if I had an injury here, it affects everything else.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so think of it as, you know, if you had that snag in your sweater where it can just thread through and affect everything.
Right, right.
Some areas will be tight, some will be twisted. And then the longer it stays in that state where it's locked down, it can actually harden. It can harden the ground substance that's actually in there because it's actually a fluid and hollow system where hormones pass through.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
a lot goes through. Yeah, it is. So if it's restricted, then those messages are blocked. Then the hydration doesn't get there. Then the hormones don't get to where they need to go. So,
okay.
I mean, that's how it affects everything. Now, as we get into like the women's health stuff, and that's why this first course for me going as a patient, women's health, was largely because, number one, a lot of scar tissue. And number two was pelvic floor.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, yes, we did some breast work in there too, but it was the pelvic floor. Those two things are just so critical for people in general, but especially women.
Mm-hmm.
Women are actually more prone to injury to their pelvis because we have wider hips than men. Men are narrower and taller in their skeletal structure. Okay. And so when we have our period or we go through pregnancy, hormones are released, relaxin is released, and makes our joints more susceptible to be moved because they're softened. They're meant to do that, right? Because you get pregnant, you have to be able to expand.
Right.
Well, you're more prone to injury.
Right, right. Now, yeah, not to mention push that little kid out of your, you know, that's got to move a pretty intensive, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're more prone to injury because of that. So then compound the C-sections, the hysterectomies, you know, all the other abdominal surgeries that we have. And, you know, we've got that scar tissue. Well, the scar tissue doesn't just heal at the surface. It, again, think of your sweater. If you tightened up your sweater and pulled on it, where else does it affect? That scar tissue threads throughout your body. So you can have, it's very common to have pelvic floor issues and head and neck issues.
Mm.
Because that's just further up the chain.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're twisted in your pelvis, you're going to be twisted in your spine. And it's going to show up higher up.
Right. It's kind of that stacking effect of when one thing goes out and the next thing, nothing just magically goes back in alignment.
And if something is turned and rotated, well, that turn just keeps going in that spiral. It just works its way up.
Right.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So that's where I specialize.
Okay.
So I treat the general population for their common things like neck pain, back pain, hip issues, you know, shoulder issues, things like that, headaches, whatever. But I specialize in the scar tissue release and the pelvic floor work because it's such a need for people. And I would say not everybody's willing to address that or acknowledge that there are some issues there that could be contributing to their symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, commonly we'll use a hot pack on our shoulder or some moisture cream or whatever. And the reason why it keeps coming up and doesn't go away is you haven't addressed the problem.
Right.
You're just putting a Band-Aid on the problem.
So talk briefly, when you're talking pelvic floor work, and you're talking working internally. So talk about what that might look like for somebody and kind of what you're, in a sense, looking for in there. And just to, because, again, I think a lot of, well, I don't think, I know a lot of people, when you talk about this, they get squicked out of just the whole, oof, that's not okay. That's you know, our culture is very much, it's private parts, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But it's like, but our quote-unquote private parts are still part of the whole, and there's a lot going on there.
Sure. So before I talk about the internal, I want to talk a little bit about the external, because that is also important, okay? And that's something that doesn't generally freak people out. But what's happening on the outside is affecting what's happening on the inside. And that's why I think it's important to cover that as well. So we talked about, you know, women in particular having their joints relax with their menstrual cycles and period and their, you know, pregnancy. So what can happen is their hips get twisted and torqued. There's a rotation. Sometimes there's a double rotation. And if you think of your pelvic floor as a bowl, mm-hmm. so your whole pelvis is like a bowl, if something's tipped, you're unstable. So things that are meant to sit straight up and down are all of a sudden now tipping a little bit. So muscles that are supposed to be supporting you on the backside are working extra hard. Ones that are supposed to be functioning on the front tend to get weak because they're shorter. So, you know, think of it that way. And then at a tip, well, that's another piece. So mm-hmm. people with bladder issues, well, okay, there's a sphincter there that's supposed to be able to close. But if there's a pull from somewhere, it's like having somebody pull on the edge of a balloon that you're trying to keep the air in. You can't because there's something pulling that's going to let the air squeak out.
Right.
So hence some bladder issues can show up because things are twisted and pulled.
Right.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So from the inside, what I do, it's very gentle work. I mean, if anybody has any pelvic floor work and it's painful, then they need to let their therapist know that they need to back off because it shouldn't be painful. Mm-hmm. Okay. Should not be painful. There can be some tenderness, but if it's painful, something's wrong. Okay. Very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
So what I look for is areas that are hot, harder, tender. So yes, working inside the body, there's heat, but there's a different kind of heat. Okay. So if you have ever, think of like when you put a stick in the fire and there's that hot ember on the end. So you could be close to the heat there and not be burned, but if you touched it, it's so hot it'll burn. Well, the tissues can be inflamed where it's so hot. It could actually feel like that end of the stick where it's a hot poker. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the tissues that are inflamed actually produce extra heat. So even though there's a core body temperature, it could be more, even a greater warmth, or it might be cold.
Because it's not getting circulation.
It's not getting the circulation. So the tissue can actually be cold when you would expect it to be warm.
Got it.
So still treat it the same way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a restriction that's causing it. So I'm looking for things that are just hot, hard, or tender. So initially it's just, you know, massaging the tissue internally just to feel for where things might be tight. Where am I going to find some extra warmth? Is maybe there's something that's tender, or maybe there's an area where the client doesn't feel anything at all. Sometimes that will happen with sexual trauma where we escape our body.
Right.
And all of a sudden we're numbed out. We don't feel there anymore. So there are things like that. So it's really feedback between myself and the client as far as what's going on, what are they feeling, and really encouraging them to feel what's going on in their body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and sometimes when I'm assessing the tissue, it's there might be some like beads on a wire, or it might be like a thread, or it might be just really soft, or it might be boggy. I mean, there's different textures. And so I'm feeling for those changes in textures. And then that tells me where I'm going to treat.
Okay.
And I basically then just hold sustained pressure there, again, to the tolerance. If it hurts too much, no, yeah, I got to back off.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of tenderness, totally fine. You can relax into it. We're good. And I just hold sustained pressure there for 3 to 5 minutes, sometimes longer. And that will open up. I can feel those shifts. And then you just go to the next barrier and the next barrier and the next barrier.
Okay. And, yeah. You know, you talked about, of course, if we have our bodies kind of torqued or childbirth or surgeries, but you mentioned sexual trauma, and I think mm-hmm. that's a really, and I would say, well, tell me if I'm right. I would think, you know, not only adding sexual trauma, but just as our bodies shift and change and we age and that, and if people are having discomfort sexually, that might be an issue. Doesn't even have to be an age thing, right? I mean, you could be 21 and have your pelvic messed up, which then could make sex painful.
Mm-hmm.
So basically just kind of saying if that's somebody that's listening or they, you know, that's an experience that they're having, that you might be another resource mm-hmm. because I know what I hear from women is that our typical doctor, for the most part, that's not something they have training in. And I know I have heard them say, well, you're just getting older mm-hmm. or, well, it's just, you know, what is it called? It's not vaginosis.
For those of you who are yelling into your earbuds, the term I was looking for was vaginismus. That being said, Ruth was definitely on the right track.
Where women just can't have anything near, or they can't get anything in their vagina because they just...
Vulvodynia? vulvodynia is like super heightened, painful. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's another thing.
Sometimes people have, it's like they're so hypersensitive that even just wearing underwear is uncomfortable.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
But they can have stenosis, you know, where things tighten up.
Okay.
That way, and that can be painful as well, just because their body has gotten tight because there's restrictions somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gotten tighter. The hole is smaller and is not as flexible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to call that out as a resource because I think some women feel lost or they're not getting help from their traditional because they just don't have the resources and they don't even know. I think sometimes that the work you do exists.
Right, right.
So it might be a great resource for somebody who's struggling and just doesn't know what's going on.
Well, and, you know, for physicians, I mean, they're there looking for disease.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you go to your doctor, right? They're looking for the absence of disease or a disease that you have.
Right.
They're not looking for treating a symptom or, they would be from a pharmaceutical perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, I can give you some medication, take care of whatever. But they're not looking to address how to make things a little easier. They're looking for disease.
Right.
And this doesn't have to be a disease. It's just your body's getting tighter, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, maybe you fell off a horse. Who knows?
Right.
I mean, those kind of things happen where it affects the pelvis, you know, or there's breaks and things like that. Again, anything that is causing your body to shift and tighten down in places will affect your pelvic floor. So it's understanding that you don't have to live with that.
Right.
There are ways to, you know, help things get better, decrease the pain, increase that flexibility that you need. And it could be a birth trauma. It could be emotional stuff as well, because we hold a lot in our pelvis.
Right.
It's an emotional center for us.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have to protect ourselves, it's either the pelvis or your solar plexus, usually where we protect ourselves. Well, and how many people do you know that have had a sore tailbone? How many people have fallen on the ice here in Minnesota?
Right.
Or even as a kid, right? How many times do you fall when you learn to walk?
Or roller skating.
Yeah, roller skating. And they've had a sore tailbone. Well, again, that's part of that pelvic floor. And it's supposed to be a certain curve to support everything around it because there's all kinds of attachments in there. Well, if that's been broken, guess what? Something has shifted there.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, on the inside of the sacrum, so on within the pelvis itself, there's an area where the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system crosses. It's called the ganglion of Implar.
Mm.
And so when people are stuck in this fight or flight, that's an area that you want to release because it's all balled up in there and their body's just on alert constantly. So people with really bad hot flashes, going through the menopause with hot flashes that are just out of control, that's an area that should be worked on. Fibromyalgia is another one. It's this fight or flight that we're stuck in. So if you can calm the system down, and that's really one place you can do it, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's so fascinating.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You mentioned breast work as well. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that I think is worthy of talking about. When you and I got in here, we were talking about my living in India. And one of the things that came up, when you get a massage, a lot of times they massage your breasts, right? Mm-hmm. They're a part of your body. There's a lot going on. You know, we've got this whole wall of ribs and muscles and everything that you know, that's got some material on the front that it's got to hang on to. Mm-hmm. And one of the women that was over there, you know, she had gone to get a massage and somebody had asked, well, would you like your breast massage? And she's like, no way. I mean, it was just this absolutely. And from talking to a few people over there, it's that's kind of American. Americans, you know, again, we have this idea of private personal space, which I totally understand, but it also then gets forgotten in the attention that it needs. And so it's great that you're doing that as well, because for many people, that's not an area they're comfortable working on.
Right. And I would say, even if it's something I mentioned to clients, most of them are not comfortable. Mm-hmm. Same reaction, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll reserve that for, you know, people are coming in and they're having issues. You know, maybe they have some breast tenderness, or maybe they've had a mastectomy or a lumpectomy and they've got scar tissue. That's most commonly where people will come to see me for breast work. But sometimes, you know, we've got these muscles, the muscle structures that support everything, right? And those muscles, will have restrictions that will feed into the breast tissue as well. Mm-hmm. So depending on what I'm working on, if I can feel that pull in there, that's when I'll have that conversation of, you know, if this is still here next time, we might want to consider doing some breast work. Mm-hmm. And I teach people how to do this. I mean, I can teach them how to take care of their own breasts. And it's not like, check your breasts for lumps. That's not what you're looking for. Totally different. You're not looking for a disease. Okay, mm-hmm. That's what your doctor's doing when they're doing that breast exam, and that's what they want you to do every month when you do your self-breast exam. Totally different. You're looking for areas that are just hot, hard, or tender. You're not looking for cancer. You're looking for areas that are hot, hard, or tender, and you're going to find a lot of spots. And then for people who have had, you know, mastitis, you know, maybe they got inflammation in their milk ducts, mm-hmm. whether it be, you know, after they had kids or just showed up for whatever reason, there's a way to work on that to help clear that out, because there's some restrictions in there. Things aren't draining properly. So there's ways to open that up as well.
Do you have opinions on wire versus wireless bras?
My preference would be wireless. And the reason I say that, I've got breasts, I have ample breasts, right? So for years I wore an underwire because I felt I needed to have that for support. Mm-hmm. But what happens with the wire bras is it prevents your breast from being able to drain effectively. So it kind of cuts off the circulation. So yeah, even though it lifts you up and gives you support, we're actually still folding over that bra wire. So if you can go without the underwire, that's better for you than having an underwire in place, just because you're not cutting off that circulation and the drainage of the lymph. Mm-hmm. So it's healthier for your tissues.
I know I've seen some articles about that lately. I've never worn an underwire bra. I've never found them comfortable. But I ran into a postural therapist years and years ago who I bought my bras from. Best bras ever. Love them. Oh my gosh. Love them. And that was her big thing, is get people out of that, because she was just seeing, she felt there was such a strong connection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we hear so much about breast cancer and breast issues and all of that. So, though I do find it interesting, when you go to the store, it is really hard to find a non-underwire bra. I went bra shopping and I walked in and I asked the clerk, she says, do you want wire or underwire? And I said, not underwire. And she goes, all right, I got three choices for you. Yeah.
Wow.
And this is a big department store in the Twin Cities. And she said, well, let me see what you got. She's like, all right, I got two choices for you if you like what you have.
Wow.
And that was all I had to choose from. Wow. And I'm like, this is not okay. You know what I mean? I found that very disturbing.
Well, I think people are just not aware. We don't realize what that's doing for us.
Right.
You know, when you have that restriction, it's an area where your body has lymphatic that has to drain. And if things can't drain because it's pooling, well, that's going to cause some issues for you.
Right. And do you recommend like no bra days?
I actually do like no bra days. I will find myself, you know, if I'm home alone or on the weekend, sometimes I will definitely not worry about wearing a bra. If I go out in public, then yes, I'm going to wear something. It's our society. But if I have a jacket on, I might not. Mm. It just depends. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to have that because, again, it's not just the breast tissue itself. But if you think about our bras in general, we're lifting the tissue and we have straps that are holding things. So how many people have straps that dig into their shoulders and it hurts? Well, it's because you're trying to hold something up that your upper traps really aren't meant to hold up your breasts. Your pecs are meant to hold up your breasts. So by not wearing a bra, it actually allows those muscles in your pecs to work differently. They get a little stretch, you know, and then you're not having that pull on your upper trap so much.
So permission to not wear a bra, people.
It's permission to not wear a bra, exactly. Permission to not wear a bra. I mean, again, I still do in society. I wear one to work. I don't wear an underwire anymore, but at home I do. Oftentimes I will just not wear one at all.
Right. Yeah. So just one thing we can do for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too that people don't realize, again, going back to some of that postural stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We sit a lot, we're on our phones a lot, we're in front of a computer a lot, our shoulders are always rolling forward, and what does that do? It shortens and tightens those pec muscles. So again, as we're talking women's health, we're all collapsing in here, and it just affects everything.
Right.
So,
right.
So wow. If we can come up and, you know, bring our shoulders up and bring our shoulders back, our breasts actually come up and out. They're not collapsing and dragging down like people worry about. You know, some people worry about them and they're going to be hanging like a scarf. Well, you know, when you're 90 years old and it's hanging like a scarf, who cares, right? But just that posture brings your breasts up without having to lift with an, you know, having an underwire in there as well.
So throughout our day, kind of being mindful and repositioning ourselves.
Yeah, you can physically feel that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You feel that shift.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a natural raise.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else with women's health that you want to make sure that people know about?
I think what I would recommend from a women's health perspective is if you're having some issues and you've been to your doctor, there's nothing sinister going on, you know, it's worth having a conversation. You know, maybe something is going on that it isn't necessarily their pelvic health. It might be something tied to their leg or whatever. But having a conversation, I know people are very nervous when they come in and they think they might need to have some pelvic work done. I was there myself. So I totally get it. I get how nerve-wracking it can be, but it's also very empowering. It's empowering to give yourself permission to take care of yourself. So, we know breasts and pelvises are taboo. Why they're taboo, I don't know. That's our society. But what I also see is women tend not to take care of themselves because they're taking care of everybody else. So, I want to let women know that they can empower themselves and it is important for them to take care of themselves. And the better they feel, the better they feel in their body, the less exhausted they're going to be, the less pain they're going to be in, they're going to be better able to care for other people as well. And if you take care of yourself, you're in a better position to help others. If you're hurting all the time, you're really not helping other people out.
Right.
You might be busy doing things, but it's not a quality time at all.
Well, and it's just so much less joy and, mm-hmm. and freedom to move. I know when I'm feeling good versus times I'm not, you know, it's your mood is down and, you know, I mean, when you're feeling good, you hardly notice it because you just go through life in this whole different way, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it is important.
Yeah.
And you said most of the people who find you are a lot of times active people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's tends to be your clients.
Yeah. It tends to be my clients. They're active. I mean, meaning they're not necessarily going to the gym constantly, but they've been active. Maybe they've shied away from some activities because of some chronic injuries. They might've stopped working out at the gym. They maybe had to stop their CrossFitting. They maybe had to stop their cross country skiing because things hurt too much, you know, or maybe they stopped running, you know, now they're walking, or maybe they can't walk anymore. They have short distance. So, I mean, if you start to see those behaviors change, like you can't do the things you used to be able to do before, or maybe you're still active, but it's getting more and more uncomfortable. Something's progressing. Those are some clues for you to pay attention to, that things are getting tight. And you might be actually compensating. Our body's really good at compensating for something. And that might be causing the problem. So if you find yourself, you know, backing away from those activities, or you find yourself having more and more difficulty, those are good times to really check in and say, you know what, maybe I should see somebody about this. And when I say see somebody about this, I don't mean go to your doctor and get pain pills. That's not what I want you to do. Because that's just, again, a Band-Aid. It's not solving the problem. Mm-hmm. There's something going on that needs to be addressed. So if you want to go to your doctor, ask if you can go to physical therapy or ask if you can go see whatever. I don't need a referral from the physician. I think a lot of PTs do. But whatever, you know, ask for that over a medication to take care of the pain.
Right. Or try that first.
Try that first. Yeah. Try that first, because, you know, the medication isn't going to fix the problem.
Right.
An injection isn't going to fix the problem.
Yeah.
You know, it might be short term. It might not do anything at all. And then sometimes people have side effects that are way worse than they ever anticipated. So, yeah, try therapy first.
And is there any, like, particular, you know, clients that or things that you love to work on that you don't get a chance to, or that you just like to see come in more because they just don't know that you can help them?
You know, I really love working on people's pelvises. And it doesn't have to be internal, because when people have back pain and neck pain, those are the top two things for people coming in to see me. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I look for, is what are your hips doing? And I can almost guarantee every single time they are twisted and torqued, that needs to be addressed before anything else is going to go back into where it needs to be.
Okay.
So that's like, okay, I see, I know what's going on. And then I can teach people how to treat themselves. That's the other component of it. This isn't come in and get fixed. I'm helping facilitate change, but I'm going to teach people how to take care of themselves as well. Because the more they can do, the faster they're going to get better. Now, do people always do their stretches? Do they always do the things I tell them to do? No, they don't. Some do. They do periodically. You know, they start feeling better, then they start to back off. Mm-hmm. That's a normal thing as well. But the more diligent people are, the faster that change is going to happen. And then if things start to reverse a little bit, you know, they've graduated, they're on their own. Some of the symptoms might be coming back. Well, they might be doing the same things that got them into trouble in the first place. Did they stop doing all their stretches? Well, they might just be able to pick up their stretches again and they're fine.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. It is good to have homework, especially when it comes to our bodies and our alignments, and having that little that help of how mm-hmm. how do we maintain, or just like mm-hmm. you say, gain.
And people don't know how to stretch.
Right.
So myofascial stretching is totally different than the stretching you would do after a workout or before a workout. Those are totally different stretches.
Okay. And do you, you said you don't need a referral. Do you take insurance, or does there any insurance that works with you?
So I'll qualify. I don't need a referral to do myofascial release. To do internal pelvic floor work, I do require a referral.
Okay.
Okay. But I let people know that in advance, but anything else that I do does not. I do not take insurance, meaning I don't bill it.
Okay.
I do accept HSA. So like flex spending, people have that. People have such a high deductible. I think that's one of the things that people don't realize. You know, they want to use their insurance a lot of times, but they don't realize they're paying this, you know, multi-$1,000 deductible for at least the first half of the year, maybe the full year, where they're paying everything out of pocket anyway. So I want to use my insurance, but you're paying it out of pocket anyway,
mm-hmm.
in reality. So that's where the HSA comes in, very helpful for people, because they're going to have to pay that deductible anyway. So
right.
it's a flip. It's just a mindset for people. Like, they want to be able to use their insurance, but their insurance is not going to really kick in for a while.
Right. Yeah. If you're going to the doctor consistently to try to get this thing figured out, maybe take a different route.
Yeah. So exactly. So, but you know, I can always give them a receipt. They can submit it and see if it's covered, because not all insurance companies will actually cover what I do.
Okay.
You know, so I can't give them a diagnosis, which they would need, but they can get that from their doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So if their intention was to use their insurance, then I would suggest they get a referral, because then that diagnosis, they would have that when they submit it to their insurance.
Okay.
They would already be available to them. I mean, I don't need it, but they might need it if they want to use their insurance. So,
right.
And then I can give them a statement that they can submit with that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I can help them a little bit, but I don't do the billing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like PT kind of thing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, where you're in the big system and because that's generally standard up to a limit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people get kicked out of PT as well.
Yep.
You're not progressing enough, you know, so, well, you're just not going to cover it anymore. Well, maybe what they were doing wasn't solving the problem. Maybe it was for a while, but it wasn't enough. Now you need something else.
Right.
And you might be able to go back to that, because you're stuck somewhere. So that's where other healthcare practitioners can help in that regard, because you might get so far, and if you're stuck, well, then maybe there's another element that needs to be addressed, that therapist, and it might even be me. Maybe mm-hmm. we're stuck, and mm-hmm. you need to go see somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is, yeah, it is an interesting thing sometimes that well, this modality doesn't work anymore. It's like, well, maybe it does, but maybe you just hit something that you need a little bit of release,
right?
And a little different. You know, we are complex bodies,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of, I mean, all you have to do is look at my podcast and see how many different type of body practitioners there are, but they all have their skill sets and purposes, mm-hmm. and can, like you say, can enhance what each other's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to a practitioner who, she said, you know, she was working with a different modality and that she was the patient of, and she said, it didn't work. And then she got something fixed on herself through a different prayer, and then went back to that one. And then she's like, and then
right.
we could flow. And then it was, mm-hmm. the body was taking it and really utilizing it. So
yeah.
Is there anything else
Do you want to talk at all about what it looks like to work with a client or how many times you might see them, or is that just very individual?
Yeah, you can definitely talk about it. So when people come in for their initial consultation, it depends on what I see. I mean, if somebody has like a recent injury, recent injuries tend to recover faster, right? If you've been dealing with something for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, it's going to take some time to undo what you've been doing for all that time. Mm-hmm. And that's part of setting the expectations as well, because sometimes people think, oh, I went and tried this once and I'm not better. Well, you walked in with 20 years of crap.
Yes.
It's not going to get resolved in one session. Right. So especially if the body's really twisted and, you know, has been compensating for a long time. And sometimes people have had surgery on their back and it didn't make the problem go away. Well, because what got them there is still there.
Right.
So... But yeah, so I do that initial evaluation. That kind of gives me an idea of some of the things that are going on. And like I said, if it's a recent injury, something we can generally work things out relatively quickly. If it's something they've been dealing with for a long time, then a comprehensive program is more likely what I'm going to recommend for people, where I could see people once a week for several weeks. I could see people 3 times a week for several weeks. It really just depends on what I see. And then we reevaluate, okay, where are you at now since we've gone through this? Where are you at now? Okay, maybe we can start to taper things off. You're doing more of your stretches at home. You're increasing your activity, less pain. You know, let's keep adding to that. And if things are flaring, then we got to back off on some of that additional and maybe, you know, shorten our time in between where we're not working on each other. You know, so increase that frequency a little bit more and go back to a little more aggressive work. But the more you do in a short period of time, the better, especially if you're dealing with chronic stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, think if you're trying to train to run a marathon, you're not going to get there running once a month. That is not going to work. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So right. there's definitely things that have to happen. Or if you're trying to lose weight, if you eat good once a week and you eat like crap the rest of the week, you're not going to lose the weight. I mean, it's the same kind of principle. So it's working on the body to change the environment to allow it to heal. Because areas that have been tight and locked down, they're weak. They're not functioning properly, you know. So you got to open up the environment for it to heal before it actually gets strong enough to hold its purpose.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to be patient, but it makes sense.
It is hard to be. Well, and it's an investment, really. It's an investment of time and it's an investment of money. I mean, it is. Absolutely, it's an investment. But it's also costly to your health. To be miserable,
right.
To be going to the doctor, to getting all the tests, for them to say, I can't do anything for you. Or maybe surgery, and we'll see if that helps. You know, that's the scary part. Well, we could do this. It might help. It might not help. You know, for some things, surgery is absolutely necessary. But as it comes to, you know, some of the musculoskeletal stuff, right. Therapy is really the better way to go unless you can't function.
Well, and you can't undo what you've done in surgery.
And then you have more scar tissue.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And more torquing just because things are moved around in there now.
Yeah. Lots of things. And I've had lots of surgery. And honestly, I probably still would have had to have them. Knowing what I know now, I probably still would have needed those surgeries. Mm. Like I couldn't have avoided them. Mm-hmm. And that's going to happen for people.
Sure. Right.
But there are some surgeries that can be avoided.
Right.
For sure.
Right. Or maybe even... I don't know if you've seen this, where if you can kind of get the body in a little better shape around where that surgery is, then everything heals and the tissues are moving better and all of the fluids are moving better to increase the healing time.
Well, and I actually had a patient come to me a few years ago who was having pain in both of her knees and had surgery in the one, didn't help her pain at all. And the surgeon wanted to actually do the same surgery on the other knee. Well, now, if it didn't work on the first one, why would you consider doing it again on the second one? So she came to me, and we worked on her, and she didn't go through with a second surgery. And actually, she has no pain. She is functioning. I mean, she is fine, and she'll never have to have that surgery. It's just the structures that supported the knees were tight and causing pain.
Right.
So, you know, think about, you know, something is tight on one side of the body, it's pulling everything else. Well, then it's going to be painful.
Right.
And we walk a lot. We use our knees a lot. And if you can't stand comfortably, you can't walk comfortably, then your body starts to compensate. So Yeah, all those things play a part.
Right.
You know, same with your hips. Well, if you're twisted and crooked and you're having hip pain, well, there's probably a reason for that. You might not need to have that hip replaced. You might.
Right.
You know, but try some therapy first. One of the other things that we have is we have an amethyst biomat here as well. So that's a deep heat healing therapy. So it's really good for, you know, general aches and pains and, you know, arthritis, things like that. Great stress reliever where you can just come and lay on the mat for about 30 minutes. And that effects of that actually, it's kind of like laying out in the sun and getting that deep heat from the sun. So, you know, how that feels good. And you're not going to get the sunburn from it, though. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about that. So it's got the amethyst crystals that do that. And then it's also got tourmaline in here as well. So it gives it those effects of like if you're, you know, at a waterfall or just like after a storm and how the negative ions are in the air. So those are in combination with what's going on with the biomat. So that's just a really cool relaxation type therapy.
Okay.
That's also a deep heat healing therapy. So we have that in our office as well. Okay. And that doesn't require me to put my hands on you.
Okay. So somebody could come and do that only if they wanted to?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us how to find you and, you know, how to find you on the web, how to get a hold of you. And then if you have any events or anything like that coming up where people can either, you know, meet you or learn from you.
Sure. I do have a website. It's energyworksmfr.com. I also have a Facebook page, Energy Works Myofascial Release, where I post on there frequently. Sometimes I throw some stretches out there that people might want to try on their own. You know, just some self-care stuff. Information about myofascial release is on there as well. I also have another website called Myofascial Vitality, and it's myofascialvitality.com. And that is really an online resource for therapists and patients. I have a course out there. It's a small course where people can learn how to take care of their own scar tissue. So that is out there as well. And then I'm building an online program where to have people go through their own self-care in some series of, you know, movements so that they can do some self-care without seeing a therapist. And if, you know, that might be an option they try first, or it might be something that they try after they've had therapy just to keep themselves motivated and moving through. So those kind of things are on that site.
Okay.
My number is 218-464-2349. If you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. Happy to talk to you on the phone. We do some phone consultations to see if we're the right fit for people. So it's not like you got to, you know, schedule an appointment and come in just to have that conversation. We like to get that information up front to see if you're even the right fit for us. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of go from there. Okay. So.
Well, this has been great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing what you do. And A lot of nice thought-provoking things, and it is good to know. You know, I think again, for women's health and some of the things that just really are specific to women, it's something a lot of people don't know about. They feel a little squicky about, and it's one thing that I want to talk about, so we feel a little less squicky about it, so we can take care of it and don't feel so. I heard there's this pelvic floor thing, and I think something's up, and help. So we feel more confident to do that because it's hard to ask for that help sometimes.
It is hard to ask for that help. Absolutely it is. And it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing for people. It was scary for me when I first started, but I've been through it many times and I'm heavily trained in it. I love the coursework. I love working with people. So yeah, it doesn't have to be scary.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for your time. This is great.
You bet. Thank you.
Just to give you that website again, it's energyworksmfr.com. So that's energyworksmfr, which stands for myofascial release. And her other website is myofascialvitality.com, which, as she said, was a resource for therapists and patients. And that's where you find out about the course she teaches on taking care of your own scar tissue. And it sounds like some other exciting courses to come. Thank you again for listening. Please share the podcast with anybody that you think might benefit. If they're in Duluth, perhaps they can work with Ruth. But also, just because you're not in Duluth, there's a lot here that somebody can learn from or modalities that somebody can be aware of no matter where they are. So please don't let the Duluth community area be a barrier for sharing the information that could really help somebody else get to learn about something that might be available to them where they are. So
thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate it. And they may too. Have a wonderful week. Take good care, and may you continue to find the pieces that fit beautifully into your health and wellness puzzle. See you next time.